Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. A voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair. He had a leather belt round his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." I invite you just to hold your Bible open just for a moment. We're going to be quiet. And maybe again you're going to be helped just by closing your eyes, but an attitude of, "Lord, speak to me through your word." So let's just sit with our Bibles open for a moment. Okay. Let's reflect for a few minutes on Holy Spirit baptism. And just want to remind you at the beginning of this reflection that if you find it helpful to take notes, please do take notes. I'm not going to check your notes at the end to check they are what I've said or anything. And I do everything, or the only notes I have here in front of me are the note, everything you're going to see on the screen. But if you want a copy of that, then feel free to grab them at the end and photocopy them. Or if you want me to email these to you, then I'm quite happy to do that. You might find it helpful within a few days, certainly normally, of the Sunday, by the middle of the week, certainly, what I say will appear on our website, evesham.baptistchurch.org, and you can have a listen. And it might be that you need to listen again and just reflect again on what we've been reflecting on. If you weren't here last week, you missed a treat. If you were here last week, this is the moment you feel can feel really smug. Are you feeling smug? Can I feel the smugness? Because last week, each week we've been reflecting on something of the Holy Spirit and the wonderful things that the Holy Spirit does. And last week reflected from Acts 1:14, how Jesus has been taken up into heaven. He's ascended into heaven, and we're told that the disciples gather together and they are praying. And the particular word that is used, that Luke uses in Acts, it's only used in one other place in the New Testament. I thought it was Romans 15:16. It's actually Romans 15:6. This particular word, they were all together. They were in harmony, is the literal meaning. And you missed a treat because Roger and Margaret, I got them out, and they helped with the sermon, which was great. They helped us to try to sing in harmony. Now, you're either thinking you're glad you weren't here, or it's a shame you missed it. Because, do you know, I think this picture of us, what the Holy Spirit does, it draws people together with different voices, different talents, different gifts. And we can all, as it were, as we did last week, as we tried to do last week, we can all sing different notes. And the key is not the note that we sing. It's not, the key is not our talent, but it's the harmony that it makes. And that's the wonderful thing about the Holy Spirit, as he draws all of us, a disparate group of people. And we look around and we go, no way on earth can this happen. Can it work? But the Holy Spirit has this wonderful way of taking the different talent, different voices, different people, and drawing us so that it is all in harmony. And there's something beautiful that God does with us. And of course, one of the keys and the first thing I put up as kind of what should we actually do. And, you know, one of the keys, if we are to learn to sing, as it were, in harmony, is we've got to turn up. We've got to turn up. So if you come on a Sunday morning, if you go to a home group, if you go to whatever you go to, turning up, then you experience my gifts, my personality, my personhood, and I experience yours. And it's only by coming together that we kind of interact and we learn. And if you're a good musician, or if you're good at singing, you can normally tell if your singing's out of harmony. Do you know that? And you can adjust. But unless you hear the other singers, you'll never know. So that's why we've got to come together. And that's why the Apostle Paul encourages people, don't give up the habit of coming together. But today, we missed a treat last week. You got another treat today. Holy Spirit baptism. The key thing throughout all of what I'm going to say today is this. Baptism in the Holy Spirit can only be understood along with Jesus. If we take Jesus out, then we cannot speak truly about baptism in the Holy Spirit. Baptism in the Holy Spirit is only understood in the New Testament as being with Jesus. If you do not have faith in Jesus, there is no baptism in the Holy Spirit. The two are inseparable. What we discover in the New Testament, you can have Jesus and then have the Holy Spirit. But you cannot be baptized in the Holy Spirit separate from Jesus. That is absolutely critical to understand. When Jesus speaks himself about the work of the Holy Spirit, we'll be reflecting in a few weeks' time, it is clear the Holy Spirit's work ultimately is just to point us towards Jesus. So when we speak about baptism in the Holy Spirit, what's it about? It is about Jesus. It is about Jesus. There are three key words I'm going to use today. And sometimes do this, I'll show you where I'm going before I get there. And I hope it's helpful. If it's not, just disregard it. Make your own notes. Better points, probably, than I've done. But these are three words, promise, parenthood, and purity. Seems to be this is where we can understand what this baptism in the Holy Spirit is through these three words, promise, parenthood, and purity. And so the first is that of promise, the promise that Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit. That is the promise that is given repeatedly in the Gospels. In Mark chapter 1, verse 8, John says, I baptize you with water, but he, speaking of somebody who's not made clear really who it is, but he, somebody else, will come and baptize you with the Holy Spirit. This message is repeated, as I say, through the Gospels, that Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Jesus tells the disciples, beginning of Acts beginning of the book of Acts, Jesus said, John baptized with water. In a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then the passage that Reuben read to us earlier in the service, when Peter has to get his head around what God has led him to. God has revealed to Peter that he needs to go to this man's house, Cornelius's house. Cornelius, as far as Peter understood, Cornelius was outside of the reach of the gospel because he was not a Jew. But God led him to Cornelius's house. And it is there that extraordinary things happen. And Peter, as he tries to get his head around what God is doing, that's out of Peter's control, and that's a wonderful thing. It's out of Peter's control. As Peter tries to get his head around, what has happened to Cornelius? Shouldn't have happened this way. You'll remember the verse that said, Peter said, "Then I remembered what the Lord had said. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And so this very simple but critical thing, Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit. When Jesus comes to us, when we open our hearts and our life to Jesus, when we first pray our prayer of commitment, whenever that is, or we repeat our prayer of commitment to follow Jesus, to be a disciple of Jesus, to say we want to know more of you, Jesus. What does Jesus do? He does this. Okay? And if you're listening, kind of on the internet, you know, he puts his hands out in a sign of blessing. Receive the Spirit. That's what he does. Baptizes us with the Spirit. Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit. And so it is rooted in a promise. God's promises are worth hanging on to because God is faithful to all of his promises. So that's a very simple note, promise. The second word is parenthood. Parenthood. And the key here, we have Jesus' baptism, water, Spirit, Father. And going to the passage is from Matthew 3, a little later on than we read together. First of all, we have water. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. Jesus has come to John the Baptist and asked for baptism. John the Baptist is, "Oh, I'm not sure about this." No, this is what we must do. Jesus goes down into the water and is baptized. That's the water. Then we have the Spirit. At that moment, heaven was opened. You saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him, resting on him. So in Jesus' baptism, we have water, we have Spirit, and then we have the Father. Now, it was at this point, I said to Sarah, I might be heretical, and I've kind of stepped out of my heresy, okay? But I'll tell you what I was going to say. What we have here is water baptism, Spirit baptism, and what was it going to be? Father baptism. And I don't know if that sound at all. I've never heard it before. But that's really what's going on. Water baptism, Spirit baptism, Father baptism. Okay? Because that's the third thing that we have here. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." So we have firstly the promise, Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Then we have the example, if you like, of Jesus himself. He goes to be baptized by John. And in Jesus' baptism, and you know, sometimes we get our understanding, our theology, the way we believe and act. We get it from all sorts of places in the Scriptures. The first place we should get all of our theology, all of our understanding about God, is from Jesus. Jesus. If you want to understand anything, just go to Jesus. You want to understand about water baptism, go to Jesus. Don't go to Paul first. Go to Jesus. You'll understand water baptism better than anything else. Paul's just adding to it. Okay. We have water baptism, but then we have this extraordinary spirit baptism. The Spirit comes down and light rests on Jesus. There's no sudden bursting out of emotion in Jesus, as far as we can see. There's nothing dramatic that happens. There is just this extraordinary picture of peacefulness, of restfulness. When the Spirit rests on Jesus. So we have Spirit baptism, and then we have this lavishing of love, the parenthood of God, the fatherhood of God. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I'm well pleased." And it's one prayer we all need for others to pray for us, that we will hear and know the truth of those words. You are my Son, you are my daughter, I love you, I am pleased with you. These are words that sadly many of us never heard from our own parents, but we need to hear them from our Father in heaven. So there's parenthood. Now, let's talk about baptism for a moment. Baptism, the word literally means immersion. That's literally what it means. When Jesus is criticizing the Pharisees and saying, it's all very well, you go on about making sure you give a tenth of this to God and you make sure your dishes are washed and cleaned properly and all this kind of thing, you know. The word he uses for them washing their dishes to be that they might be pure is the same word. They immerse them. They baptize them. Now that's not very grand, is it? But that's what it is, because it simply means to immerse or to dip. And that is why the symbol that we see in some traditions, unfortunately, just where there's a little bit of water sprinkled around. I'm going, hang on, you know. It just doesn't correlate to the word. And the word baptism, it's one of the strange words in our Bible that has not been translated. You know? It's, you know, if almost still in the Greek, the pronunciation is almost still Greek. But if it had been translated into English, it would have been John the Immerser or John the Dipper. Jesus would have gone to John to be immersed in the river. We wouldn't have used this word baptized. But for some reason, don't know why, but for some reason it's a word that's not really been translated. We know what it means. But that's what it does mean. It means to be immersed, to be immersed. When we experience or see, read of the baptism of John the Baptist, water baptism, and baptism actually existed before John the Baptist, when there were those folk who wanted to convert to Judaism, they would convert by means of baptism. But what does it mean for John the Baptist? Clearly, it is about change. It is about repentance. That's what John the Baptist was speaking about. People were coming to him for a baptism of repentance, a change in their lives, a change of direction. We don't want to live for ourselves. We want to live for God. Tell us what that means, John, as we are being baptized. The Apostle Paul can reflect much later in life. After he'd encountered the risen Jesus, Ananias, he says, had said to him, "Get up and be baptized, wash away your sins." There is something in water baptism, and there is something in water baptism that is about change, it is about repentance, but it's about cleansing as well. That's what they were understanding they were doing. I'm being cleansed of my sins. I'm coming up out of the water, cleansed. It's a powerful symbol. That's what we have with John the Baptist. Now, when we look just at the water baptism of Jesus, the water baptism of Jesus, we have Jesus being baptized and then coming up again out of the water. The Apostle Paul later reflects on baptism in Romans, and he uses the picture of death and resurrection. It is as if when Jesus is baptized, you know, I remember preachers getting in a real fix when I was young, talking about baptism, because they would stress, you know, baptism is about repentance. It's about cleansing from sin. I remember going to a baptismal class and asking, well, why did Jesus get baptized? Did he need to repent? Did he need cleansing from sin? It doesn't have to mean exactly the same thing. For Jesus, it seems to have meant something about his own death and resurrection. It is about his own death and resurrection. It is symbolic. Jesus goes down into the water. He places himself in somebody else's hands. Goes down into the water, is baptized, and then he comes up out of the water. He is living out, symbolically, his own death and resurrection. And there is there that anticipation. Father, I am ready for my death in anticipation of my resurrection. And it's a sense for Jesus, it seems to me, of preparation. He is preparing himself for what is to come. So in John's baptism, just the plain water baptism, it's about change, it's about repentance, it's about cleansing from sin. When we see it in Jesus, I don't think it can be those things. But it is about death and resurrection. It's a powerful symbol, and we should never put symbols down. They're very powerful. Death and resurrection, symbolic anticipation and preparation. Now, what do we have when we have water baptism with Jesus and then the Spirit coming as a dove upon him? We don't just have change or repentance or cleansing. We don't just have this anticipation or this symbol of death and resurrection. What we do have is relationship with the Father. That's the Father baptism. That's the Father baptism. This is where the Father speaks from heaven. What an extraordinary moment that must have been. You are my Son. I love you. I'm pleased with you. I am pleased with you. And so we have this, it seems to me, this picture, this understanding that is there for us. Water baptism on its own is about us. Change, repentance, cleansing, that's what I'm there for. In Jesus, it's about death and resurrection. And as we seek to follow Jesus, we are baptized not just for change, for repentance, for cleansing from sin, but because we want to go the journey Jesus went. And so we say, Father, I am ready for death in anticipation that, Father, you'll raise me one day, just as you raised Jesus. But then there is this extraordinarily beautiful ending. There is the resting of the Spirit. upon us, upon Jesus, this relationship with the Father. This is baptism in the Spirit. This is what baptism in the Spirit gives us. It is relationship with the Father. That deep, profound awareness that the Father loves us. That the Father is pleased with us. If your dad, we've all got a dad, alive or dead, if your dad came to you and said, son, daughter, you're my son, you're my daughter, I've got a couple of things to tell you. First, I love you. But second, I am pleased with you. How many of us would just want to laugh it off? Because it bears no relation to anything we've experienced in that relationship. And when we hear that God is pleased with us, how easy it is to just, oh no, couldn't be true. But that's what Spirit baptism is about. That's what the Holy Spirit baptism is about. It's this profound awareness. You're mine. I love you. I'm pleased with you. So water baptism, yes. Immersion, yes. Change, repentance, cleansing, anticipation of death, hope of resurrection. But it is relationship with the Father. Okay, so we had promise, we had parenthood, and very quickly we have purity. We have purity. Here's the tough bit. Baptism in the Holy Spirit includes a baptism with fire. Baptism in the Holy Spirit includes a baptism with fire. Let's look at the scripture, Luke 3. John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one more powerful and I will come. The thongs of your sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And with fire. Now, I've heard many times people talk about, I will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire, as if this fire is an empowering. The Holy Spirit will come on you and you will have power, and the fire is the power. Don't think so. That's not the biblical image of fire. Fire is about purification. It's about burning up the stuff that shouldn't be there. It's about cleaning out. It's about making space for what is good. Clearing up, burning up the dross. That's what it's about. Baptism in the Holy Spirit. It is rooted in a promise. Jesus will baptize in the Holy Spirit. It holds within it this promise of parenthood. You're my son, you're my daughter, I love you, I'm pleased with you. But it also holds within it purity. Purity. The Holy Spirit's desire for you and for me in our lives is that we might be pure. That we might be pure. As an offering to God, we might be pure. That's what the Holy Spirit's doing in us. And if you're baptized in the Spirit, if you're filled with the Spirit, and then your conscience begins giving you a hard time, guess why? Because the Holy Spirit's at work. He'll give you a bad time because he's working in towards purity. Or in other words, we could speak, he's doing his work, which is natural to him or supernatural to him. The Holy Spirit, what's the Holy Spirit going to do? He's going to make you holy. That's what he is about. And this work of holiness Well, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, there is a declaration of you are holy. You are now set aside. That's what to be holy is. It is to be set aside for God. So there is that declaration on you, like a stamp on you. You are now holy. There you go. Might not feel like it, but that's the declaration on you. You are holy. But then there is the being made holy. There is a stamp on you. You are holy. And then the Holy Spirit gets to work. Let's make what is true, true. Let's make what I've declared over you to be true. I will make you holy. So to be holy, set aside to God. To be made holy is about purification. It's about the transformation of our character. To transformation of not so much who we are, but in a way what we are. To make us pure. And this is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's rooted in a promise that Jesus will bring it. It holds within it the parenthood of God. Why do we need the baptism of the Spirit? That we might know that we are loved by God. That He's our Father. But we should also, that's why we need to use, just surrender. And say, I know this is going to hurt. But I know you love me and I want to be transformed. I want to be made pure. I want to be made holy for God. So these three things. Baptism in the Holy Spirit can only be understood along with Jesus. There's promise, there's parenthood, and there's purity.